All right. Misha Popoff is always with us after Harry Cooper, and we get to learn about food, health, safety, and other things. Misha writes and says that there are reports now of beautiful Canadian geese falling dead from the skies above. I haven't heard this. I don't like the sound of it. He also suggests that the government is using it as proof of bird flu. It sounds very suspicious to me, like they poisoned a couple of flocks and they're dying. I don't see bird flu. I think this is being overblown, and the stage is being set for another fake pandemic, a deadly one at that. Hello, Misha. Merry Christmas to you. How's everything going?
Going well, but yeah, I have some other stories, but then this one just came up this morning, came out a few days ago, geese falling out of the sky. And I just slapped my forehead. I thought, oh, brother, here we go. And yeah, you just nailed it. What's the most logical explanation? Something toxic. In fact, I believe most right. diseases actually are toxins in the environment. And so, yeah, these birds, they landed in some farmer's field that he had sprayed. Or she, don't forget, could be a woman.
or a contaminated pond, body of what, lake, body of water? I mean, the water's filthy. Yeah.
Yeah, eating off the side of the highway where they spray weeds, although it's you know, winter now, so I guess they're not doing that anymore. But yeah, this avian bird flu thing. Remember, the reason, Jeff, they're going with bird flu instead of swine flu is because birds fly. And of course, if you read into any story about bird flu, you'll always run across the backyard chicken, because the bird flies in, you know, a goose or a crow or whatever. It's flying around. You can't stop them, Jeff. Goodness me, they're spreading the disease like wildfire. Right. And then they land on your backyard chickens, and they poop, and your chickens get it in their eye or their mouth or whatever. Next thing you know, your backyard chickens have become the vector for this disease, and it'll mutate and all this other garbage. And it's this bird flu thing. Now here, this gets a little more interesting as we dig into it. I don't know if you've heard, Jeff, but in Georgia, we're not off topic, trust me. In Georgia, they've been really fighting because they want the Georgian people. There's all these right. NGOs, non-governmental organizations.
You're talking
there.
About the country of Georgia in the Middle
yes.
East.
Yes, thank you. The country of Georgia. And this goes on all over the world. The CIA, MI6, they set up NGOs, non-governmental organizations, you know, to fight for right. things like gay rights and what have you.
Oh, yeah.
And
why are they always degenerative and disgusting, the things that these intel agencies push? It's weird, isn't it? Think about it.
It is.
They're always negative.
They're either, yes, for feminism, gay rights, whatever. That's the degenerate part. Or there's the ridiculous. And in Georgia, one of these NGOs, Jeff, they're taking care of stray dogs. Oh, my God. So this is the new CIA front in the uh-huh. East countries. It uh-huh. is, literally. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. And they... Yeah. And, yeah, they don't want to reveal their funding source. Okay, so back to Kansas. Guess how they found out about all these birds falling out of the sky? There's a group in Kansas that, here, let me pull it up so I get their name right. They are this is their whole, oh, yeah, here it is. The Wildlife Rehabilitation Center in Kansas City. And the first thing I think when I see this is, like I just insinuated, this is a front. I mean, these guys are not taking in stray dogs, which is crazy enough that there's an American NGO taking in stray dogs in Georgia. Don't we have enough stray dogs here, Jeff? And anyway, no, here we are in Kansas City, yeah. And these jokers, I mean, this is a really nice website. You look at how much staffing they have. Jeff, all they do is take in wildlife that's been orphaned. Jeff, they've been doing this since 1989, caring for injured and orphaned right. wild animals. Are gotcha. You kidding me? Are you kidding yeah. me? Like, how much money are we spending on this? And so I think, yeah, they were the perfect front to report on this and give it a sheen of professionalism over, because they've been doing this since 1989. And yeah, they're the ones reporting on it. And of course, here comes the fear factor. Any of our listeners in Kansas City, if you see a goose that fell out of the sky, Jeff, don't try to help it. The best thing that can happen is it can be euthanized, to put it out of it. There is no treatment for this disease. The thing is already dead, even if it doesn't look like it is. And best thing you can do is report it right away and just steer clear of it.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. This is like a Hollywood movie in the making.
Right? I don't. It's mind-boggling. I have geese here every day. Every day. There's a core group of about 12 that they were all born here, and they still hang out together. They fly together. They migrate together, and they always come back, and they're here. Most all the time, year round. And they're joined by 50, 60 others. This is kind of a goose area. We have 7 or 8 ponds within quarter mile. There's a lot of water, but they really like it here. It's their home. And I just, the idea of trashing these animals is really disgusting. They're very nice. Most animals are. In fact, I'd say, generally speaking, with the exception of pit bulls, most animals are very nice. Pit bulls just killed 2 more people in Southern California. One of them was a pit bull breeder, and his own dogs turned on him, and they found him a day later, and he had been largely eaten. And there's just no reason for that species of dog. And I think all honest people would, if they examine the evidence, would come to that same conclusion. There's just no reason for a head that big and jaws that powerful and the musculature on it. They're killers. Come on. How many people have we seen killed by collies, German shepherds, poodles? Forget it. Doesn't happen. All the stories are about pit bulls killing their owners or killing some child or other unfortunate who was in the wrong place at the wrong time. Yeah. I'm very much pro-animal, but there's no reason for this species. Let's take care of the other dogs we have. Anyway.
Yeah, like we don't have a shortage of other worthy dogs.
Correct.
I've argued with some people about this. I'm on your side, Jeff, and I say, why do we need them? And they say, you're discriminating. You're discriminating against a certain I say, yeah, you nailed it. That's right. I'm just, because it's called pattern recognition or noticing. And I have a friend from church. He was out walking his dog, some gentle breed of dog, and he was attacked by 2 pit bulls. And this guy handles the security at our church, and he's always armed. Right. We're in Texas. That's not surprising. And his dog was being attacked on both ends by 2 pit bulls. He pulled out his gun, and for some reason, he fired into the air. I said, I would have just shot them both. Like, it's an easy shot. You wouldn't hit your own dog. You just walk right up to the action.
Yes. I don't know. That's very interesting. He would not take one out or both out immediately.
Well. Instead, he shot in the air. They stopped, and he started kicking them, and they ran away. But by then, they had broken his hand because the leash had pulled so hard.
Oh.
And he sued the guy for his medical expenses. I said, man, he should sue him for suffering and mental anguish. And now his poor dog won't go for walks. That's been some time ago. I'm sure she's back to her, dogs love walking. But, yeah, he said she just wouldn't even go out of the house. He was so traumatized.
That's remarkable. He survived, though. They went after his dog, not him. You read these stories of pit bulls killing human beings, and you just kind of, if you're honest, you scratch your head. Why do they have this breed of dog? That's what it does. And it's been inbred so much, they have genetic flaws, in their brains. Now, some of you will say, no, I have a pit bull, and it's the most sweet, loving thing ever. Well, that's what they almost all say about... We can't believe the dog killed our 9-year-old daughter. We can't believe this. How could it happen? It was the nicest dog ever. Now, there's something wrong with that breed. Don't know what.
Yeah, and it's something that goes wrong. Actually, it's going right for how they were bred in the past to fight to the death. That's how they were bred. And, yeah, so even the nicest pit bull, sits down at your feet by the fire in the winter, but
right.
they're triggered into a fight.
They have that genetic. No, they have that genetic. It's a prime directive to the
yeah.
death. That's what they. That's what drives them. It's a weird thing. So it's been bred into them, and it's there, and you can't take it out. Nope.
Yeah. No. And there's plenty of other dogs. I could just imagine someone trying to sort of rehabilitate the species of pit bulls. And I would say, why bother? You know, there's hundreds of other breeds. We don't,
exactly.
we just don't. Now don't yeah. forget, there's, you know, the old, what was it, Victrola or RCA? They used to, his master's voice, it was the old
yeah,
record
sure.
player.
Yes.
Yeah, and it had the dogs. That's a type of pit. I don't know if they're called pit bulls. But that is a different type of pit, and apparently they are genuinely friendly. I just used that example from the uh-huh. 20s or 30s. It was used in an advertising campaign. The idea was the sound coming from this gramophone is so realistic that this dog thinks it's his master's voice, and that's how they would advertise these old record players. His master's voice, they would say. And but in any case, yeah, though apparently I just want to, just in case anyone out there has one of those types, we're not including them. It's the actual, those dogs weren't.
Oh, that,
red.
Now if you look at the dog, pull up RCA Victor dog and you'll see it. He's listening to the horn on an old Victrola, and he doesn't have the skull bone structure of a pit bull at all. He's a normal head. And his name was Nipper.
Oh,
Nipper.
I did.
It was actually a dog. He lived 1884 to 1895. Also known as the RCA Victor dog, was a dog from Bristol in the UK, bred as a terrier mix. He served as a model for the 1898 painting by such and such, titled "His Master's Voice."
There you go.
That's the yeah. dawn of the age of recorded music and speaking and humans. All right.
Oh, and it's that long ago. I guess 1920s, but it's a whole 25 years before that. That dog was dead by the turn of the century, from what you just
yep.
said.
Yep. Nipper.
Okay. He was
you
a
know,
star.
Those old Victrolas are really amazing with the horn on them. They used to make those horns out of oak, beautifully crafted, or... brass, gold-plated, some of them, wood, like I say, oak. They weren't all metal. And the sound of a 78 record coming through. Now, the amplification on that is all because of the horn shape. There's no electrical amplification for that. That's a wind-up apparatus, the Victrola. You wind it up, and it plays. And it plays 78 records. And it's... The audio is increased because of the horn.
Yeah.
That's what the horn is there for.
Yeah, well, elderly people used to have a hearing aid, and it was the sort of the reverse.
It was a horn. They'd hold the horn up in their ear. That's right.
And it'd put right in their ear and sort of make the nozzle in their ear plug their ear so there was no outside noise. And then, yeah, they could hear better. But, you know, what's really amazing is in World War I, they had a similar thing going to detect incoming air raids from miles away. And again, uh-huh. it was just the shape of these were massive horns. They were like 25 feet high. And these guys would just sit there and listen. And if they heard the rumbling of airplane engines, they would sound the alarm. And this is in the First World War. By the Second World War, they had radar. But in any case, yes, that's the simplicity of it is just amazing, really. There was no amplifier, in other words.
No electronics.
Yeah, and same with the hearing.
Mechanical only.
Yeah.
Did we ascertain that geese really are falling from the sky? And if they are falling and dying, there should be necropsies done on them to find out what the hell's going on.
Yes, and but here's the rub. As you and our listeners already know, I mean, they never did isolate polio. They never did isolate COVID. And I'm still waiting. Maybe they did this time. Maybe they have isolated bird flu, but I have not heard hide nor hair of it. Where is it? Did they isolate it yet? They're always talking about symptoms, right?
Yeah,
so swelling of the eyelids, wheezing. Uh-huh. The animals,
you know,
wheezing.
Those symptoms can apply to a hell of a lot of other things, though. There are only so many symptoms to go around. They claim somebody in Louisiana was quite sick from bird flu, but I don't trust anything I read at first blush anymore. I let it sit, percolate. I look for backup material that will prove it. Because I think these people are lying to us nonstop. I think you agree. They don't stop. It's not saying everything is a lie, but they never stop lying. Look at these drones in New Jersey and the lies that are coming out of the government about them. It's all lies. And if you haven't seen the video at the top of the homepage, by all means, don't miss it. It raises a lot of very interesting questions. That's why I've left it up there. It's a good video. Go ahead.
I'll check that out. Well, dovetailing with this, this shows you this has to be a lie. They're heating this up because why? Because Trump's going to take office after Christmas. And sure enough, Jeff, Trump's immigration crackdown could make it harder to contain bird flu outbreak. Why? Why? Oh, my goodness. Because, Jeff, the threats of mass deportation might further discourage farm workers from seeking testing and care for the current bird flu outbreak. Again, I've not heard of, I've heard of a lot of farm workers being sent home. And I said in our last episode here, I explained how an overwhelming majority of farm workers, especially in the dairy industry, they're now immigrants. Right. They're not white, according to the USDA. They even use that term. You tell them, hey, Manuel, hey, you got bird flu. He's like, fine, I'm out of here, because they get paid. They go home and they sit at home for a week. A lot of teachers were doing that here in Texas. They get tested. And, you know, the PCR test for COVID was garbage. And if they got a negative, they'd go back and get another one until they got a positive. And then they'd come into the school and say, I can't work this week. And they're fine, you know. If anyone's sick,
yeah,
you don't look sick. They'd say, well, no, I'm asymptomatic. Goodness, you don't want me to be a vector for 30 innocent kids. And, yeah, they get the week off. And so these farm workers, you know, if it's a family farm, you couldn't tell them not to work. The family farm, they're going to work until they die. But these guys, they're getting paid low wages. And yeah, so someone of some authority comes in and does a test and tells them, you have bird flu. Yeah, they're going home. But again, Jeff, just so we don't miss the headline here, Trump's plan to crack down on immigration, that could lead a lot of these workers to, you know, running away when they see the authority coming in with the PCR test kit. And and so they're worried that, oh, no, we won't be able to give Manuel the week off. It's so ridiculous. But again, I have not heard, please, if you've heard otherwise, or if any of our listeners, I have not heard that they have isolated H1N1, the bird flu. And I've not heard that when they're testing that they're finding a perfect match. It sounds to me more like the cycling that was going on with the PCR test during COVID. Mm-hmm. Right. They just rush 10 times, 30 times until they get a positive result. And so it's really meaningless.
I agree. I do agree. I don't know what to think about bird flu. There are a number of players on the table for the next crisis. And it's just a matter of time. Now, I'm not going to go on without saying that, in my opinion, why have another pandemic, plandemic, scamdemic? Why? They've done it with this first one. 80%+ of Americans have been injected 2, 3, 4, 5, sometimes 6 and 7 times with the COVID vaccination. This vaccine is a killer. It is a cold, deadly killer. It's not going to go away, and it's not stopping. There are so many people now who are sick. They've never been the same since they've taken the shot. Many of them are dead, and many of them are actually beginning to manifest vax injuries. It's only been, what, 2021, so we got 4 years. It's just an awful thing, so I don't know why they want to keep playing this over and over again, if they do. But I'm not worried about bird flu in the least. Doesn't bother me. I don't see a problem, unless it's an engineered bioweapon, like COVID. That's an engineered bioweapon, the original virus, and so is the vaccine. There are two bioweapons turned loose on the people.
Yeah, yep, definitely. But you say, why would they? And it could be, I think, it could be plan B this time. It was plan A beginning in 2020. And then, as you said, then the vaccine came out in 2021. It's funny how the Democrats and the Republicans argued over it. Trump was, it's the Trump vaccine. And the Biden administration, well, they weren't the Biden administration yet, but until Biden took office in January, they were still saying, Jeff, I would not trust a vaccine that Donald Trump had anything to do with. Kamala Harris said that. There's video of her saying that. Well, then they take office and all of a sudden it's their vaccine. And anyway, the rest is history, as they say. But I think that time that was plan A. Right. And they were barreling ahead with it. Remember, Trump was going to use the military to turned out he didn't have to because all the pharmacies were all too willing to do the dirty work for everyone.
Yep.
But in any case, I think this time you say, well, why would they do it again? Why would they run the same? It's like in football. You don't run the same play back to back. I think it's really plan B, and they're holding it out. They already got that Hotez guy who replaced Fauci.
Steer clear of that guy. Stay away. Awful.
He's already predicting it'll be in January, and it's so obvious. I can't imagine that they actually think we would fall for it. So I think it's plan B this time, or it's the sleight of hand, when the quarterback pretends to throw it over to the left, and then he hands it off to the running back. I think it's going to be a sleight of hand thing. But boy, they are pushing it. Bird flu. And don't forget, we've all heard swine flu. And we always hear about that over in Asia because, they sort of live with their pigs the same way we live with backyard chickens. The reason they're not going with swine flu here is because they assure us, Jeff, that the modern swine hog handling facilities are perfectly safe. No rodents can get in. And it's the rodents that are the vectors. And then the pigs eat the rodents and they catch whatever disease the rodent had. And they are so adamant that no, we've clamped down on that now. And they don't want to sully the pork industry. And remember, the bread and butter of the pork industry in America is your McDonald's breakfast sandwich and the Wendy's and the Jack in the Box. All of that is pork. It's pork in the morning, beef in the afternoon. That's the way the fast food industry runs. And so even people who might work and buy a lot, you're not even a drop in the bucket. Well, you might be 40%, you and all your friends who like pork. It's the fast food industry driving the pork market. And Jeff, they don't want to lose that. So the word is, shut up, we're going with bird flu. And again, remember, birds fly. So you can really scare people with the concept of a sparrow, Jeff, landing it. You always told your neighbor not to have those chickens. They stink. And now you could see the sparrows and the hawks. They're all landing in the yard. Oh, my God. Uh-huh. Yeah. You can just imagine some little old lady blowing a gasket and phoning up the CDC to report her neighbor now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. it's so crazy out there. It is. And the poor rank-and-file people have really never been less informed, less well-informed ever. They've been lied to and conned and deceived so many times, they don't know which end is up. I'm telling you, they don't know. I'm not saying everyone, you people out there, this audience, you're the best of the best, in my view. More wisdom, more knowledge, more open-mindedness, and you know what you're going to hear on this program. It's up to you to make your decision on whether you agree or disagree. That's what this is about. It's journalism. So the idea, though, of trusting this government in any way, shape, or form to tell the truth about anything to do with a pandemic, forget it. Forget it. They've been spraying and administering biological weapons on the unknowing American public since 1949, when they began to use bacteria on people. They sprayed all of San Francisco Bay with that bacteria that caused a certain problem, and they were just doing it to track it. People died. They didn't care. It goes way back. So anyhow, go ahead, please, Misha.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and sure enough, the USDA, I think this is kind of like the Biden administration trying to get as much money and arms over to the Ukraine before Trump gets in.
They're going to try before
January 20th to do a nationwide testing of milk for bird flu. Now,
they're already after, you know, they're after the dairy cattle, probably
totally.
Beef cattle, too. Yeah.
But it's sort of hit and miss. They go visit a dairy. They say, look at that. 6 of your 20 workers tested positive, and these cows have to. What they'll start doing if a cow tests, they'll milk her off. She has to still be milked, but they'll milk her offline and dump the milk or give it to a calf or something. But yeah, no. But what they're pushing for here, this is a Affiliated Press story, is a nationwide testing. Now they already are testing nationwide, but not inclusively. And I really think they want to get this at least started before January 20th, because now maybe I'm just a foolish optimist here, but I really think there's a good chance that RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy, that he won't go. He'll say no, USDA, no. You don't need to do a nationwide. I mean, I hope he shuts it all down, all of this nonsense. But I think he, of all people, knows the PCR test is garbage. And it remains to be seen, of course, and this is where I might be a hopeless optimist, Jeff. It remains to be seen how much power he's really going to have, and whether, you know, he'll have enough power that he won't care what Trump says, the guy who hired him. Because Trump still at least is pretending as a politician this is all real. But I don't hear Trump saying a word about bird flu. So, I think it's a Democrat thing, and they really think they're going to try to hype it up as much as they can before Inauguration Day and either have it underway to the point where Trump and RFK can't stop it, you know? Right. Hey, we put $500 million into it. You can't just shut it down. Or to the point where Trump will stop it, and people will get sick and die, or geese will fall out of the sky, and then he'll look bad. It's one or the other. I can't imagine. But I can't imagine RFK allowing this to continue under his watch, if indeed there is an inauguration, and if indeed RFK gets the position he said that they're saying he'll get. But yeah, nationwide testing of milk is just ridiculous.
Well, how many times have you seen, and I've remarked about this before, so many types of food warnings now. Not necessarily by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and mostly by the FDA. They have had so many recalls, not just salmonella in meat, although that's been part of it. They've recalled, I don't know, at least a dozen different kinds of food, including vegetables, claiming salmonella. And have you been watching this? There have been a lot of them, more than I ever remember seeing.
Yep. I'll say this. I deal in the, I float around in the Christian community. I do some interviews. I like researching the history of the Bible. Right. And even some Christians who knew better than to take the vaccine for COVID because it contains fetal stem cells, even they are noticing that, Jeff, that it's that apparent that a person who has nothing at all to do with food and agriculture, and yeah, they long story short, they've been asking me about it, and here's what I said on this show last month, and what I say to them is, there's salmonella, E. coli, and listeriosis in almost everything, especially in meat and dairy and eggs. It's everywhere, and the only question is, has it reached a level that's deemed unsafe? And then you bring in the PCR test, and it's anyone's guess.
You know what you're bringing in here, in fact, is the compromised, if not destroyed, immune systems of those who have taken the shots. Their immune systems are gone. So all of a sudden, an endemic natural level of listeriosis, all the others you named, and more, become a threat because your immune system can't keep it in check like it usually does. You never notice it. I think the same thing's happening with group A strep. There's a new form of group A strep now which causes cellulitis, and that was discovered about 17 years ago. I have to go back and look at what was going on then, but it's called the M1UK variant, and it is 950% more toxic than the regular group A strep that people carry on their skin at all times. 950% more toxic. So cellulitis is breaking out all over the place now, and it's a horrible thing. You can lose limbs easily with this. So that's another thing. We've got real problems here, and I think a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that immune systems have been destroyed and that people can no longer fight off things that they normally wouldn't pay a moment's notice to, immunologically speaking. It would be gone. But yeah. Now we got problems, big problems.
Yeah, I admit I didn't think of that angle, that people who've taken the vaccine or even been subjected to shedding from others who took the vaccine.
Their T cells are ruined. Their blood is turned to sludge. It doesn't have the normal viscosity that blood does, which is very little. It's like a liquid, and it's thick. It's horrible what's happened to people. And they don't know it. There's so many reasons why people fall over dead after getting these shots that this thing has many different ways of killing people and stopping life. And it is happening. And I want to say that you do not want to get this virus either. The COVID virus is a bioweapon. So is the shot. They do different things, but it's all ultimately going to relate to the spike protein and the production thereof. The spike is the ultimate killer. Whoever discovered that or invented it, created it, might be Ralph Baric, we don't know. He's a name commonly mentioned in this whole program. That spike protein is wickedly deadly through dozens of different pathways of destruction that will end your life. And it's shed all the time. Anyone who's taken a shot will be shedding spike. And most likely, anyone who's been infected with COVID, the virus, will be shedding as well, the spike protein. So this is not a good situation. You don't want to get this virus, this infection.
And we should mention, Jeff, that even the mainstream pro-vaccine nutcases, they agree with shedding. That's not some conspiracy theory we came up with here in the alternative media. The experts have known about shedding since the 1950s.
Anybody who spreads the common cold, that's shedding, all right? And that happens.
Right, but to the extent that a vaccine might work, it's like you're shielding the patient, and that shield, I'm using a metaphor, having been shielded, the disease now bounces off and hits other people. And yeah, that's a crazy way to explain it, but basically, yeah, they've known about this since the polio vaccine.
Sure.
Which wasn't really effective at all. It was proper sewage treatment and sanitation that really cleared that one up.
That's right. That's exactly right. No, we didn't need the polio vax. And they gave us SV40 in it, too, among other things. And they've killed, I think, the last I heard, was at least 45 million Americans have died from SV40. And that was, Jesus, decades ago. It may be well over 200 million by now. It was 45 million then, mostly brain and kidney cancers caused by SV40 and the polio vaccine. Salk was a mass murderer. It was a terrible thing. I don't think we need any vaccines for anything. That's my take.
No, we did well without them for a few thousand years. And people will point to things like the Black Plague. But Black Plague, you know, it's funny. It has remarkably similar symptoms to anthrax poisoning. And I think that's, and people think, well, anthrax, that's like modern chemical warfare. No. There's nothing modern. Gunpowder, anything you care to discuss. Right. They've been around for hundreds, if not thousands of years. And yeah, there's basically anthrax in a less lethal form was definitely available back in medieval times. But yeah, they'll point to incidents like that. And my response is always, look, if the Black Plague was real and it was just like this pathogen that just got out of control all on its own, there's nothing that people could do. They were helpless. Or if you want to look at the Spanish flu at the tail end of the First World War, if that was true, that there was such a contagion that could just sort of break out on its own, well, the human race should be gone. We would have been gone long ago. Why did the Black Plague only wipe out two-thirds or half of Europe? I think I'm a little high on two-thirds. But yeah, it's something close to half. Why did it stop there? Well, their answer is, well, the people who survived had immunity to it. Oh, wow. So you have immunity to a novel disease that came from China? Really?
Uh-huh.
That just doesn't seem plausible. But they buried the dead. You could touch a corpse of a Black Plague victim. All of this goes to disprove the claim that it was contagious. Like a half of a family would get wiped out, but the other half were fine. So that just, you know, if it's contagious, that just doesn't make sense at all. The other half wouldn't even get sick, I should point out. It's just studying the history of that is very enlightening. But yeah, I think to get back to why would they do this? And I mentioned, like, it could be it's a ruse, it's a fake. They're going to take us into a nuclear war and they're just presenting this to distract us. But it could also be that they're really going to release something toxic, and they'll pretend it's bird flu come January, but it's going to be something else. Who knows?
Who knows? All I can tell you is there was a lot of work, and diabolically satanic work, that went into this COVID virus and the vaccine, especially the vax. When you put into somebody mRNA, just think of them as instructions. It goes into the body. mRNA is covered by liquid nanoparticles, which helps it go right into the cell. It goes into the cell. It changes the cell's DNA directive to make whatever proteins the cell is making. Cells make thousands of different proteins in the human body. So any mRNA cell, any cell that's taken over by mRNA, can no longer make its normal proteins. It can only make one kind of protein, spike, which will kill you. And you do not lose those instructions. Once that cell has been taken over, it will make spike proteins for as long as it exists. And now we know that the body is shedding the mRNA instructions and the spike protein. So you can get spiked, but you can also pick up the instructions, which will turn your body into a spike protein manufacturing facility. And it won't stop. In addition to that, in every injection of this vaccine is up to 400 billion pieces of DNA, which can meld together with your body's DNA as well, the results of which, anybody's guess. These 400 billion pieces, fragments, called plasmids of DNA that are in every shot, every injection, didn't get there accidentally. They're there for a reason. So you think about that. Worry about spike. Worry about the mRNA instructions. That's all good. But 400 billion different DNA particles, which can assimilate into your own DNA and cause what? We haven't any idea. This is a real bad shot. So just keep in mind, many things at work here. And whoever did this, believe me, had an open line of communication with the big guy himself down in Hades. This is satanic. It's not anything less. Go ahead, please. Talk about you.
No, mRNA, if I'm not mistaken, so Moderna, that's really at the cutting edge of that, they had yet to turn a profit or even generate revenue until 2021.
No. That's right.
And I remember hearing that they were as part, you know, because they've been around for like 10 years without making a dollar. I don't know how I do know how they survived. It's the DARPA, Defense Advanced Research Project, the Pentagon, and then, of course, Incutel. They gave rise to Facebook, Google, and all that. But so I do know how they came into being and how they managed to survive without generating revenue for all those years. But there they were. There we were. You had a choice. You could get Moderna or Pfizer. And there's Moderna right there unabashedly bragging on their website. We are going to rewrite your DNA. And I remember telling people this, who were friends who I knew were going to take the shot. I said, have you seen this? And I'd show them. I'd send them right there on the website. We are going to rewrite. Or I think they would use the term upgrade. We're going to upgrade your operating system, Jeff. Isn't that
That's right. Upgrade and your OS.
I'd show that to them. And you know what these people would say? They'd say, that's just marketing. Don't fall for it.
Right. What do you say to somebody like that? What do you say to somebody who's bought the lie, hook, line, and sinker, and has his or her mind made up? They don't want to hear what you have to say. So you shouldn't say much of anything. And it's heartbreaking when you see people you care about taking these shots.
I had to give up. I it was too hard on me to keep trying to show them things. And then to remind people about Fauci's history with AIDS. Oh, my God. It's just, it should be open and shut. You know, if, one thing I found that worked that would get people's attention, I'd say, how do you think Freddie Mercury died? Because everyone loves Queen. Queen's like the Beatles, you know. And there's a lot of my Christian friends still like Queen. They still listen to Queen. It's great music. And I say, how do you think Freddie Mercury died? Oh, he died of AIDS. No, he didn't. Fauci killed him with AZT. Now, if you show them that, for some reason, I found, Jeff, that would stick a little better than than the previous thing we just discussed with mRNA. Yeah, most of them went ahead and got it. The saving grace was the plummeting statistics. Like you said earlier, it's about 80% of Americans got the first jab. Then it drops to 60% for the second. And then thankfully it gets around 50-50 for the third. And then the fourth. And then, remember, then they tied in the annual flu shot. So that's your fifth and sixth, I guess. I don't know how many boosters there's supposed to be. I wasn't going to take any of them. But yeah, So that's why you got to sort of keep trying with these people. But it is heartbreaking when they...
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, because they... I mean, even if I'm wrong, aren't I trying to help you and at least show you some information that you were... Because they... No one ever said to me when I showed them the mRNA thing from the Moderna website, no one ever said, oh, yeah, I've heard that before. They were all sort of surprised. They'd go, oh, and they'd read it. Like sometimes I show it on my phone. Yeah, and I remember the exact wording now. It's like, we're going to upgrade your operating system. And they go, oh, and then you could see the gears turning and they'd say, yeah, it's just marketing. They're just trying it. Yeah, it's just marketing. They're not going to literally. And no, I think if they say that, we should believe them. But yeah, it's just too hard to help some. And you got to just distance yourself from them and move on with your life. It's sad.
However much of a life you have, we just deal with people all the time who are reporting and talking about a husband, a wife, a spouse, a son, a daughter, a cousin, a mother, a father, a grandparent, it doesn't matter, who are vax injured. And these injuries can manifest in dozens and dozens of different ways. These are primary issues. And the poor people are just destroyed. Their lives are destroyed. Their health is destroyed. And in many cases, sadly even more so, their family walks away from them. They can't deal with it. They don't want to deal with it. So they don't. And these people are left alone. And there are some of you right now listening who have been left alone by your families. They've walked out on you. You're vax injured. Or you know people who are, and that's the situation. And I don't understand that. But I know it happens, but that's not what family is all about. Unless these people just give up on the idea of family and walk away from it too. I don't know. But it's a very difficult situation out there. Many, many more people are sick and dying than the media will ever admit to. Never. You never hear anything about this in the mainstream media. And I don't monitor it all the time, but believe me, I hear about things that are said on it from a lot of people with great ears. And there's nothing being said in the mainstream media about the danger and death from the COVID kill shot. It's a death vaccine. This is what it is. May take a year, may take a month, may take 5 years. We don't know. We do know, I think, as a general rule of thumb, that anybody who takes these shots has a much shorter life already than they would have otherwise. I think that's a given. I'm just, again, I'm speculating. I'm not talking for Misha. But go ahead, Misha.
No, I think I told you once, 40 years ago, Jeff, when I was going to college, I knew everything. And I would argue with my grandma about how much better off we are. I mean, she grew up without running water. Never mind antibiotics. They didn't have aspirin. But they did have, it's funny, they had heroin for toothaches. But seriously, so she took me to the graveyard of my family, of our ancestors, who came to Saskatchewan in 1899. They came over on a cattle ship that author Leo Tolstoy convinced Queen Victoria at the time to grant to us, to bring us, because he said, these are going to make good Canadians for your colony out there, because they were having trouble keeping Western Europeans in the prairies over a few winters.
Yeah,
so
got it.
These people, Jeff, like I say, no running water, no antibiotics. The fathers would deliver the babies of their wives at home, cut the umbilical cord, do the whole. They had books about how to do home medicine, including the delivery of a baby. And my great grandma had 9 children, and then my grandma, whom I was arguing with foolishly as a young teenage man, she had 4. So that's another thing. They had way more kids. But she took me to the graveyard, and with the exception of infant mortality, which is horrible, and that you do have to work that into the statistics at some point. But anyone who made it, you know, through their toddler years, anyone who made it to the age of 5 or 6 was going to live to be 80 easily 80. And then there was we were wandering around the tombstones. They're hard to read. But there were people who made it to their 90s and their 100s.
Oh, yeah.
And
true.
Living with nothing. And so I think we're living shorter now. I haven't seen any real longitudinal study over the last century for how Western lifespan is in the Western civilization. But I can't believe we're better off. I mean, when you go in for cancer treatment, if you're lucky, you'll get 5 years. And it's the treatment that killed you. Because it, like you said earlier, it destroys your immune system and destroys your organs. That's what that was the worst thing that happened with the vaccine. They destroyed people's immune systems, and so these people can literally walk around in our Western civilization that's clean, and you know it's clean drinking water, and they'll probably live 10 or 20 years. You know, the ones who don't contract these what they call turbo cancers, and isn't it funny? Sort of shifting topics here, but it was about 35, 40 years ago, we heard the term SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome.
Sure.
And yeah, they said, oh, you shouldn't have laid the kid down on his stomach to sleep. That's why he died. Like just they also called it crib death. And of course, it was the vaccines, because there was no that had never happened in history ever in thousands of years of recorded history. Well, now we have sudden adult death syndrome, SADS. And when they name a disease, I mean, it'd be like calling a car accident victim, oh, he died of front-end collision syndrome. You know, like,
yeah.
What does it mean, sudden infant death syndrome? Well, or again, now it's adult death syndrome. Well, I'll tell you what it means, Jeff. It's right up there with the acronym AIDS, which is totally meaningless. Acquired immune deficiency. So, oh, you mean like any? Like when I catch the cold, the cold beat my immune system. Now I got to lay down for it. Yeah, I acquired an immune deficiency from the common cold or the flu. Yeah. I mean, the name is so meaningless. And so I think they really show their hand to people who are paying attention when they come up with these terms. But of course, turbo cancer. That one's not so innocuous. And yeah, I just want to say again, we never saw that before. People, totally healthy people coming in dead 6 months later from COVID.
Got it. Absolutely. Are you ready for Christmas with the family? You're okay?
Oh, we're all ready, and the kids are a little older now, Jeff. And as you know, we got kicked out of the country this summer, and we went to Paraguay. We've got our residencies getting ready there, and I have convinced the kids, Jeff. You're not going to believe this, but you know they're all teenagers. We're not going to have a big, crazy gift opening type Christmas because we don't need more junk. We'll be moving eventually. We're very fortunate. We did get our visas renewed, so we're still in Texas, but only temporarily.
Gotcha. All right. Yeah. You're definitely heading south at some point.
Yeah, and it's looking more and more like Paraguay because that's where we got the visas.
Yeah, I remember you got a real good hit off the place too, so that's excellent. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country, and best thing, they're self-sufficient in everything.
Uh-huh. Very good. All right, listen, got to run. Merry Christmas to all of you, and thanks for all your wonderful combinations and contributions. I mean, you put things together like nobody else can, so we've done it. Thank you for everything, and have a good time.
You're most welcome, Jeff, and Merry Christmas to you too, my friend.
Okay. Good night, Misha. Take care.
Brother.
Misha Popoff, and he has done so much research and put so many things together. It's terrific. All right, we'll be right back tomorrow in 21 hours, Friday. Take care. Talk soon.